Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, chronic back pain, it's a debilitating condition that can affect every part of a person's life. And the conditions that lead to chronic pain are really varied. So often, too, are the paths to treatment. Derek Cawley is a spinal surgeon and he's with me here in the studio. Derek, good to see you again.
Hi, Claire.
Thanks for being with us. Already questions and messages coming in for you. Chronic pain, then, what is it?
Yeah, so I suppose the chronic pain was recently highlighted in the series on TV about the OxyContin controversy in the US. Very good.
Dope Sick
was on. It's on RT Player. And it really highlighted how this went wrong in the US, because Purdue Pharma produced OxyContin in the 90s, a synthetic opiate. It was marketed as not addictive, which it is. It is 1.5 times the potency of morphine. And people were cycled through increasing doses very quickly because of the increased tolerance that the body develops to a drug. And also there was this notion, this concept introduced to break through pain, which is not really a thing, but it was enough for them to be able to market it significantly.
To increase the dose.
Yeah. So, I mean, chronic pain, it boils down to a pain from a inflamed or sore part of your body. Like, so if you break your nose, it's inflamed. There's all sorts of inflammatory mediators there. There's biochemical reaction telling you I have pain from my inflamed tissue. It could be a tummy bug, could be a hip that's arthritic, but that's called nociceptive pain. And the body learns through its nerves that there's a problem there. And then you have a pain that comes primarily from a nerve, like a neurogenic pain, it's called. So if you have a slip disc and it presses on a nerve, it gives you sciatica. That's a neurogenic pain. And then the third one is probably the one that we find difficult. It's called, we call it nociplastic or central sensitization. It's where the pathways, those nerves become a little bit fuzzy and it transmits a pain that may not necessarily be organic in source. And they are often the ones that are more likely to become the more chronic ones. They're less understood. They're less well diagnosed. Mm-hmm. Typically, chronic pain, or what's now called persistent pain, is more than 3 months long. And it has it's difficult because it's trivialized. Society doesn't really want to know about it. It's the end of every long waiting list. And oftentimes, as it was shown in the US, these people are prescribed opiates, which isn't of particular use to them or benefit to them.
So it's masking what's going on. It's dealing with it on a day-to-day basis. But what are you to do? Like, if you're dealing with back pain every day, you just want it to go away, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I suppose the first thing is to get back to the drawing board and say, what is this? Is this an nociceptive pain? Is this a neurogenic pain? Is there a different type of pain where you have a central sensitization, and identify what that is. And that's not necessarily an answer that's going to jump off the screen from an MRI scan. That's going to take more in-depth diagnosis by just listening to the story and examining and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So the pain then will be best managed by an accurate diagnosis. And certainly we have to remember that there's an awful lot more to this than just medicalizing it, in terms of the other things we can do about our lifestyle to try and address that. And you're right, in terms of the approach, exercise is more and more and more. And we always hate hearing about exercise because it's not a quick fix. It's not easy to tell someone in pain to get up and exercise.
Yes.
But we know that's
the thing they might want to do, feel like doing.
Absolutely. And therefore, the question is, what can they do? So the natural endorphins that are created from exercise are huge. They help. They are the body's own painkiller mechanism. So that's really, really important. And not necessarily to do something that causes pain, but to look at something that doesn't. So frequently patients will tell me, you know what, I started aqua aerobics. It's in it's a more weightless environment. There's a good social network. We have the chats and the coffee. There's a group effect. And we have someone showing us how to move in water. I have people doing floor-based exercises. So they're not out walking because it might be too sore to walk. Or even an exercise bike. Or even on the bed before they get out of bed in the morning. So there's a number of ways we can tackle that to try and get a little bit more exercise. Mm-hmm. That helps for sure.
But that's only part of the treatment plan.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's only one part.
So what are we talking about? What are the other parts then that create this 360 plan that you would like to see in place for people with chronic pain.
So the social side is huge, and needing that element of support is huge. And that means a listening ear. And oftentimes you'll hear that I was never listened to, but actually they may well have been listened to, but not understood. And not understood because maybe the healthcare provider didn't know what that type of pain was.
Mm-hmm.
So because they feel less understood, feel less supported, and that heightens anxiety, and anxiety directly affects pain. So if you lower anxiety, it affects pain. And there's, believe it or not, there's good evidence for placebo effect for chronic pain, not necessarily for acute pain, but even in back pain. The effect of a placebo is there, particularly for pain, but also for function. That if you actually give a placebo, that a person can function better in the setting of chronic pain. Now, you could say there's ethical concerns.
Mm-hmm.
You're deceiving a patient.
Yeah, and I feel like some of what you're saying, so the social side's really important.
Yeah.
The placebo effect works. Are you saying that a lot of this pain is in the mind?
Well, I mean, last time my 4-year-old came running to me after bumping her head and I gave her a kiss on her head, I didn't say, listen, by the way, this has no biological effect on your pain whatsoever. But she felt reassured by the fact that I cared about the bump on her head. So feeling supported and listened to and allowing that person to feel their anxiety has been addressed has a massive impact on their pain.
Okay. I better get to questions because we could be here for the next hour going through them. They're coming
sure.
in so fast. So this listener is 47, pretty fit, started getting back pain in January. I've been seeing a physio since then. I have a dreaded desk job, which isn't helping. It seems so slow to recover. And they're worried if this is going to be a hallmark of their life now in future.
Yeah, absolutely. And certainly we saw that with COVID because so many people were working from home. So many people didn't leave their desk at all for the entire day. And sitting down, be it driving, desk, TV, we spend our lives sitting down. And that's only worsened in the last 50 years. And I see people now in their mid-30s who I know what they're going to look like when they're mid-70s. And I already know what the mid-70s are going through. So I would say we have a huge wave ahead of us of back-related problems.
What do you worry most about when you see somebody in their mid-30s and you're looking ahead?
I suppose it gets into what happens to the body because we sit down all day. That's the first question. And that's not well understood and it's not taught to healthcare providers. And it was originally seen in nursing home patients whereby their hips stopped moving because they were sitting down all day.
Mm-hmm.
But the back muscles still work. So when you go out for a walk, you waddle because the back is still able to move, but the hips don't. So that wears out the back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Standing desks, do you like those?
The evidence for them isn't necessarily there. It's better than sitting all day, but not significantly better because you could slouch at a desk as much, mm-hmm. standing up as much as you could sitting down.
Okay. And what about ergonomics? You know, the right chair and the desk at the right height and the screen at the right height and all of that stuff.
Yeah, there's a huge market for it. No significant evidence for it.
Just get up. You want people to just
get up and walk around.
Okay.
Use a yoga mat maybe in the office. Stretch out. Sit on a yoga ball. Take a phone call while walking. Go for a lunchtime walk. Have a mid-stretch, mid-morning, mid-afternoon. There's huge things we can do in the office.
Okay. A listener would like to know, is surgery the only answer for stenosis of the spine if you're over 60?
So stenosis of the spine over 60 is now hardened and calcified and it's not going to go away. And if it's moderate or severe, the answer is yeah, surgery is the only answer for that. If it's mild and you can improve the blood supply with exercise and the right supports and the right medication, then definitely with mild stenosis you can improve that with exercise.
But you need to find out which level it's at.
Yeah, and certainly I would also always say that a physiotherapist is helpful in that situation.
Another one, what is the treatment for a bulging disc that has flared up?
So a bulging disc, no more than a bulging belly, isn't a diagnosis that causes pain.
Okay.
We all get grey hair and wrinkles as we get older. So I don't think that there's enough information from that. And that person doesn't have a diagnosis.
Okay, so what does that person do? What do you want them to do?
They need to find the actual cause of their pain.
Go and get diagnosed.
Yeah, go and get seen.
Okay, right, let's go to this one. A busy mum in Sligo. For a year and a half, I've had middle back pain on the right side. It's always there. Sometimes it's really bad. It started when my dog pulled me strongly in icy weather. I often carry shopping home in a tote bag on my right shoulder.
Mm.
Recently, I stopped carrying heavy bags. I've tried to sit up straighter at my desk. There's a slight improvement. Could it be this simple? I'm 52 and a little overweight.
I love the way they throw in that afterthought of a little overweight, and that's hard, and we don't want to fat shame people, and it's not that their weight causes all the problem, but it has been raised, definitely losing weight would help. But I think it gets back to what the pain is, and that person said it's on my right side. So either it's the right of the middle, i.e. middle right, or it's way over to the right. If it's way over to the right, it's because their back muscles are working too hard, they're going into spasm, they're sore, they're tired, they're full of lactic acid, and it's because their hips don't move properly. Mm-hmm. If it's just to the right of the middle of the spine, it's more likely to be a joint that's inflamed, and that's probably because their back is working too hard.
Maybe same cause. Sitting down too much if it's the first problem.
Yeah, if they got physio and got the hips strengthened up, that would help their back.
Okay.
And a massage. Always go for a massage.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's helpful for muscle pain if that's what it is.
All right, and it's a nice treat too.
Yeah.
I'll try and squeeze in one more. So this person's had 2 babies in 3 years, cesarean section. I've had back pain since. I wouldn't call it unbearable, but it's there. Can the anesthesia technique of cesarean section cause back pain, or is it general pain post-pregnancies?
Yeah, many times that question's been posed. The answer is this person has been through a lot. That body has been through a lot, and they need to be looked after from a multidisciplinary perspective, physio, GP, lifestyle, and that mum is probably overworked and overburdened and needs to look at the totality of the problem. But it is not the actual birth or the epidural that they may or may have had that significantly did that. It's the bigger picture.
Okay, the bigger picture of
absolutely,
going through
yeah.
2 deliveries in.
And a C-section directly affects the core stability. So the pillar that holds up your tummy is weaker as a result of a C-section.
Derek, we could keep going, but we can't. We'll have you back really soon. That's Derek Cawley. Let's take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.